The New Zealand Law Society has been around for about 150 years now. It is the parent body for lawyers and barristers in the country. In its 150-year history, however, only four women have led the society. In Pacific? Well, only one. The current president, one of the youngest too, 43-year-old Tiana E Pati. PMN News editor Gladys Hartson caught up with Tiana recently and asked her what it meant to be president, but also about the upcoming inaugural Pacific Lawyers Summit.
It's an opportunity to create change. I think, firstly, with the profession, that's the primary motivator or role, but, you know, taking it to its complete degree, it's almost an opportunity for change for the rest of the country too. In 150 years, I'm the fourth woman to be president. I'm the youngest, and I'm the first of Pacific Island descent. And while that's great, the reality is I'm still only the first, and it's 2019. So it's a time of reflection for me. To say, yep, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. So I look at it as an opportunity to, there's a lot of talk about diversity and inclusion and those sorts of things, but I see it as an opportunity for us to really make proper change.
Being the first Pacific president, but also being the first to champion the first ever Pacific Lawyers Association Summit. Now, like you were saying, the association's been around for a long time, but this is the first time. What took so long?
I don't know. I mean, you'd probably have to ask the exec team and the president. I think, like any organisation, and New Zealand Law Society is the same, it goes through peaks and troughs in terms of engagement, passion, enthusiasm. I think partly there is a real moment happening. The Māori Renaissance, which has probably been going on since the 1970s, is really hitting its moment, you know, where a new time is definitely coming. So I'd like to think that that's partly to do, you know, that's sort of fueling this wanting to also have something special and this amazing place and space for Pacifica people in the legal profession.
I do like the theme. It's island time.
It's island time. Yeah.
So these are some of the key objectives for the very first one. This is our time. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's a play on a phrase, you know, so obviously we've got to make it our own, and it wouldn't be our own if we weren't playful about it. So it's island time is a play on a phrase, but it's also serious that our time has come. And when I talk to younger Pacifica and Māori, I say, you know, this is it. It's your moment, so take it. It's yours. And that's what I think, you know, a new day is coming.
Just how important is the role of New Zealand Law Society?
Well, I'm a president, so I'm going to say it's very important. So the New Zealand Law Society, essentially, they both represent and regulate the legal profession. To be a lawyer, you have to register with the New Zealand Law Society, and then it's the New Zealand Law Society that hold you to standards, both in professional conduct and general conduct. And so they're quite pivotal in terms of every single lawyer has to, at some stage, interact with the New Zealand Law Society. If you want to become a partner or practice on your own account, you have to satisfy the New Zealand Law Society that you're capable of doing so. They also deliver pretty much most of the legal education and services. So they're quite central when it comes to. So you've got lots of other groups like the New Zealand Bar Association, so that's the barristers. You've got Pacific Island Lawyers Association, so they're not part of the New Zealand Law Society. Right? They stand apart as a separate, independent group, but there's a close relationship. You've got Te Hamuro and Māori, which is the Māori lawyers. Again, separate, independent group of interest groups. You've got women's groups, you've got, you know, family law section, criminal bar association. The New Zealand Law Society is essentially the organisation that is the umbrella organisation over everybody. But there are groups that are separate and individual.
And I guess for you in this role, do you have any goals or objectives personally coming into this new role?
So for me, there are two main challenges, I suppose, if you can put it that way, for the legal profession. The first is health and well-being of the profession, and the second is access to justice. When I talk about health and well-being, I mean a variety of different things. So last year when they surveyed lawyers as part of their annual survey, the profession responded with what they felt were the top challenges. And it went in this order. Work-life balance and stress and anxiety were number one. Number two was diversity and inclusion of all kinds. And then number three was workplace environment. And so I put all three under the same umbrella of health and well-being. And they're actually all interconnected, because if you have poor mental health, if you work in a work environment that is not inclusive and therefore not diverse, then you're going to have poor standards of interpersonal behaviour. So you've got to tackle all three. You can't just say, oh, I'm only going to deal with bullying, sexual harassment, and, you know, conversations about diversity or race, that'll be secondary. You can't do that. Similarly, you can't say, well, mental health is something that sits over here. They're all part and parcel of the same conversation, and you have to tackle all three in order to actually get some strides forward. So for me, I'm putting a lot of effort into what we call practicing well initiatives, and the relationships that the New Zealand Law Society has now with Pacific Island lawyers, Māori lawyers, there's a new Asian Lawyers Association that's now begun this year. For me, ensuring that we have close relationships to tackle this issue of a profession that isn't diverse is really, really important. And then through that and a whole lot of other initiatives that have already been started by the past president, we're going to tackle just overall culture of the profession, which needs to change, 100% needs to change. And then it's not completely independent, but access to justice is an issue, because at the end of the day, if there are people who have legal problems and they can't afford a lawyer and they can't access a court, well, that's a problem for the legal profession, because we become irrelevant. So it's really important for the community that we serve. You know, we serve communities. That is our function. Can't forget that. If we can't fulfil our fundamental purpose, then what's the point in any of it? And that's actually a health and well-being issue, because I don't know any lawyer who thinks, oh, the people that need me the most can't access me, and so I'm fine with that. And I think most of us went to law school to be of service, to help people. Although I don't like the term help, because it's kind of patronising, you know, to be of service, to do something good. And if we're not doing that at least once or twice in our career, then I think that becomes a health and well-being issue for lawyers as well.
As a Pacific, as a Samoan, what are some of the challenges that face our Pacific lawyers in terms of the legal system? Are we getting there? Are we winning? You know, we've got a few judges. We have you in this position, but is it enough?
No, it's not enough. It's not enough. In February 2002, I watched my dad be sworn in as the first person in New Zealand of Pacific Island descent to be a judge. And I remember thinking, wow, this is it, you know. He's broken the ceiling. It's just, oh, it's all going to happen now. And Ida Marlusi was appointed later in that year. And it was 14 years before we had Judge Fotopodi and Judge Moala be appointed. And now, yes, we've got Judge Ginnan. But that's too slow. It's too slow, and it's just not enough. And there is just no way that the profession reflects the communities that we serve. And that's an issue. That's an issue. So I think it's important to celebrate those moments, absolutely. And yes, I'm the president, and it's a first, but we mustn't be complacent and think, oh, no, but it's good now. Tiana's the president. I mean, I'm only going to be president for 3 years. It's 1,000 days. And then I go. It's only going to mean something if others come through the door. And it can't take 20 years for that to happen. Otherwise, it's just a moment in time that we had that one time, you know, that Tiana was president, and then it just went back to status quo.
Is there something stopping us as Pacific people, or is it a system?
You can't take unconscious bias out of the equation, or you can't take conscious bias out of the equation. And that's a really hard one, and that's going to take, you know, everyone everyone crossing the line together. I can remember when I was a kid and I used to say to my dad, oh, it's not fair. You know, it's not fair for me. I get treated differently. And he was just like, and what, you give up? No. You go out there and you do the best you can, and that's all you can do. So on the one hand, yes, it's challenging. It's going to be more challenging for a woman of colour in the profession to move up the ranks. It is. Let's be real about that. But you can't let that stop you. And you can't let other people write your story for you. You have to be in charge of your, you know, the future's unwritten. Not many people ever thought that they would see, you know, a Samoan girl who immigrated to New Zealand when she was 10 become the 31st president of the New Zealand Law Society. But it happened this year. So you can't allow this idea that it's unfair stop you from shooting for the stars.
So talking about finally breaking that ceiling, our young Pacific youth who were thinking, could I ever get to where Tiana is? Could I ever be a lawyer? Could I ever aspire to be a judge? What would you say to them?
It's within reach. I was not top of my class. I didn't graduate with first class honours. I didn't do any of that. I was actually a really ordinary student. My university professors don't like it when I say that, but it's just true. It's not false modesty. It's true. But there's this great Obama quote about change happens when ordinary people do extraordinary things. See, I credit myself with doing an extraordinary thing by becoming president. So I always tell people it's totally within reach. You just have to be prepared to work for it. You're going to have to take the hits and get up afterwards again and again. But you can do it. You've just got to be really, really determined.